since we're recording this, I really got to finish editing the last one.
when you texted me and said we were doing the podcast today, I was like, oh, did the last one go out? No. And I looked and I was like, nope. And I was really sad because I want to listen to it.
Elsa left it up to me, and then I got obsessed with Baldur's Gate.
I could have sworn.
No, it's not finished.
Oh, okay.
It's about halfway through. It's really funny so far, but at our bathroom break that we took in the middle.
Yeah,
because there's been a couple times where I was like, "Can I just post it as is?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I gotta go back and finish that."
Jensen,
I'm sorry.
Finish it, please.
You left me in charge, and then I got obsessed with this game.
So Jensen's basically saying, in my defense, I was left unsupervised.
Absolutely.
That is what she's saying.
Oh man. Ugh. All right.
Gosh, I can't believe I didn't notice it never went out.
I know. I'm sure I bring it up. I'm sure
I brought
it up a couple
times. Do not pay attention
to
the podcast.
Not really.
I'm sure that I brought it up a couple of times, being
I need to finish doing that.
We do this for fun, you know. I enjoy recording them. I enjoy listening to them. And when Jensen's like, yeah, I'll edit it. I'll get it out there.
I didn't say I'll edit it. You said, you're editing this one. And I was like, okay.
I agree. That's exactly what happened.
I have recorded proof that you said, Jensen, you're editing this one. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
fine.
I remember. I'll do it. That is exactly what happened.
Is that the same thing as you volunteering?
No.
It's you volunteering, Jensen. It was not your decision.
And then I played Baldur's Gate for 1,000 hours.
Okay, but we all need
to... For someone who played, like, hundreds of hours of Baldur's Gate, which is a game all about autonomy and choice, you don't seem to understand Jensen's autonomy and choice here.
I think Aaron has something inside.
We need to be closer to our mics. Like,
You're right. I'm very close to my mic. Two fingers away.
I'm very good at following
instructions. I love that Elsa always does this and then moves the mic away from me.
Yeah, as long as you guys, like... Lean forward.
I just have a funny
talking.
Feeling that you might be louder than me.
Granted.
Also, another question. Can you guys smell cleaner down here at all?
No.
Okay. I'm going to bring the birds down then because Fluffle is having an absolute.
He's having an aneurysm. I can hear it
up there. He's an angry little chicken.
Poor boy.
Angry chicken.
So, what have you been playing, Elsa? Elsa has been playing Baldur's Gate 3. But I also played some Lies of P, which we already had a whole episode where we talked about that. We also already had a whole episode where we talked about Baldur's Gate 3. But it has not gotten released for reasons. And then...
Oh, well, guess we'll have to talk about it now.
I'm actually not going to talk about either of these games then, because we have two full episodes where I talked about these games a lot. They're great. They're really good games.
Elsa's like, because Jensen hasn't done her job, I shall punish the audience.
Yeah, it's true, though.
I mean, seems rational.
What is Elsa's refuse to talk about Baldur's Gate 3?
Are you never releasing the episode? Is that what that means?
I'm gonna do it! I just need help!
Okay, then I'm not gonna waste time talking about it now. Erin!
Yes?
What have you been playing?
Well, okay, so I think last time we met, I had started Arkham Knight again, because at least once a year, I rekindle my obsession for Batman, for all things Batman, so, and it's a good Halloween game. So yeah, I beat that again. I platinumed Spider-Man 2. It is so freaking good, you guys. It ends perfectly, and I'm so mad that we have to wait, like, another 5 years for the next one. Oh. And they had better do some DLC, like, yesterday, because I need it.
Nice.
But yeah, and I also started Arkham Knight. Yes, you know, the sequel to Arkham Knight. It's Arkham Knight with an S.
Like, the sequel to Alien.
Oh, like Aliens!
Yeah. There's more than one now. Gotham Knights, which got a lot of flack, but honestly, it's really fun, you guys.
It's pretty fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, it managed to pull me away from Baldur's Gate for 3 hours.
It's pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And I was instantly captivated by Barbara Gordon. She's so funny. She's like Nancy Drew, who kicks ass, literally.
Uh-huh. Jensen's literally like, give her a game with a pretty woman in it, and Jensen will be like, this game is great!
Stop saying things that are true.
Yeah. No, it got a lot of flack, and I think it's just because people were expecting it to be the same caliber as mm-hmm. the Arkham games, yeah. which, I mean, do I wish they had made it the same caliber? Sure, but is it a freaking fun, cool game? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love it. I'm really not upset. Like, I don't know why people are giving it such crap. So yeah, and I also bought It Takes Two on sale, and I'd love to play with that with Zach one of these times, but he has migraines quite a lot. Oh. Birdies!
Oh no! The birds!
Luma! Good bird.
The birds are so wild.
Good job, buddy.
It's just immediately yeah. Fluffles of just like flying head first toward me.
Sounds about right. Well, how do I get Fluffle down?
Sorry, guys. He's just clinging to a
He's
picture.
He's just been dying to get out all day. He's such a butt. He's only happy in the basement, so until Evie's nap time, he's always like, get me out!
He's high maintenance.
Silly bird.
Yeah, I get it.
And now Aaron is recording with a bird on each hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dual what wielding. I've been playing.
Dual wielding birds!
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Oh, nice. Yeah, I started playing Arkham Knights. And...
Gotham Knights.
Shut up.
I'm sorry, I started something here.
Gotham Knights. And I'm not very far. I only got through the first night of patrol. But I enjoy it. I'm going to go back to it. Obviously, Barbara Gordon is the best, but Jason Todd is a close second. Yes. I like him.
Come here, bud.
He's moody, and I'm here for that.
Same.
I like my moody boy.
Yeah, I told.
There's always a place for one.
Yeah.
It's okay, dude. Okay, go over there. Good job.
I'm so excited to be involved.
Right. I told Jensen I started maining as Batgirl. I absolutely got my butt handed to me when I played as Nightwing and Red Hood because they're slower. But I've started to main as Robin because he has a lot of cool stealth moves. And, like, I'm really upset because I just want to play as Batgirl. She has the coolest, like, suits. And
and she's Batgirl.
Right.
She's Batgirl.
She's Batgirl.
She's Batman's actual successor.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know it's true.
Yeah. For real.
She's awesome. Yeah.
I really wish that they would share more attributes and that you could switch while you're out on patrol, because like with Spider-Man 2 you can pretty much freely switch between Miles and
nice.
Peter. Like there are some required missions where you can't switch in the middle, but other than that it's like
but
I wish Gotham Knights would have done that
but like Grand Theft Auto 5 you switch between them. I mean they like Trevor, Franklin, and Mike all are pretty separate from one another when you're not, like, in a mission that requires them all to be around. But you can just, like, jump around between them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. I don't know. I like games like that where you have, like, characters you can, like, switch between.
Yeah, same.
It's a fun time. I'd like to start Spider-Man 2 at some point soon as well. I will probably be able to tear myself away from Baldur's Gate for a little bit for that as well.
It was fun to sort of vicariously play it through watching Aaron play it.
That was fun.
But I may actually just go back to Miles Morales first.
Miles Morales is so good.
And like at this point, it will be a triumph if I manage to play something besides Baldur's Gate 3 for like the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So
honestly, that is something that I think about occasionally. Sometimes I'll be just sitting there playing Baldur's Gate and I'll think, am I going to ever play another game?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
maybe not.
I got no plans for it in the future.
Yeah, like it says right here that you've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 and a little Power Wash Simulator, Jensen.
Oh, yeah, I did play some Power Wash Simulator because they put out DLC. It was Back to the Future. I've already platinumed. Well, nice. I've already 100%ed the DLC.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was fun.
The Power Wash Simulator.
It was so much fun. Well,
it's exactly what it sounds like.
It was Back to the Future DLC. How could I resist? I got to
I got like so many hours in Power Wash Simulator. That's you.
It was so much fun though. I got to clean the DeLorean, and then when I was done cleaning it, it took off and like it went through time and left the fire streaks like on the ground in front of me, and then I started to clean them up.
So you're telling me that the Back to the Future DLC is you get to wash the car.
Lainey, it's Power Wash Simulator. All you do is wash things.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Maybe it could have sent you into the past.
No, I got to wash the DeLorean. I got to wash the time train. Yeah. I got to wash the Holomax Theater. I got to wash the clock tower. No, and I got to wash Doc's van. Oh. It was awesome.
Why was there no plot line about how you have to make sure that your parents conceive you?
Because, Lainey, it's Power Wash Simulator. The plot line is you clean things with a power washer.
You're just the guy in the background.
Yeah, and you could, like, fit that into that story.
The last DLC was SpongeBob, and that was really fun as well. Because the contrivance there was that the dirty bubble was causing all these places to be dirty. You had to clean the Krusty Krab, and you had to clean the Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy's lair. Mm-hmm. That was a really fun one. I had to do that one twice fully through for the trophies, too. Mm-hmm. And that was a big job. And you had to clean the Burger Mobile, I think it was. That was fun. Anyway, the only thing that could pull me away from Baldur's Gate for many, many weeks was just
those sweet, new sweet DLC for Power Wash Simulator.
And even then, I finished it and then I went right back to Baldur's Gate. And I have a combined, between PS5 and PC, I have a combined like 1,200 hours.
Do you want to read your statistics?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, do you? I thought you had them up. You
no, I them? Have my statistics up.
Okay, so my statistics for Baldur's Gate 3 characters, I have 26 different characters, because I forgot I added a game playing as Will. So 26 different characters. I have, of those 26 games, I have romanced Shadowheart 13 times. I have romanced Karlach 4 times. I've romanced Lazelle 4 times. And then I've got 2 games where I'm romancing Minthara, 1 where I'm romancing Gale, and 1 where I'm romancing Asterion. Haven't yet done one yet where I'm romancing Will, because I'd rather play as Will and romance Karlach. Oh, wait, that's 5 games then for Karlach. Forgot because I added that one.
Excuse me.
Then number of times playing is the Dark Urge is 16. Number of tabs is 3. And number of origin characters is 7. 2 of those origin characters is Shadowheart, and 2 of them are Karlach. And then 1 Asterion, 1 Will, and 1 Lazelle.
I'm still on my first game.
Yeah.
Riveting. Aaron has killed some goblins.
Right? Yes.
Aaron killed some goblins.
Found a nice grove with some druids who seem real helpful. You
and when we played with her, Elsa ran up and punched Zevlor in the face as soon as she got into the grove.
Elsa was doing some wild ass crap.
My hands
just ruining Aaron's game.
What? You assaulted somebody.
You all saw
Elsa
it.
Made Shrek. She made Shrek as her character, literally named him Shrek, and ran up and punched Zevlor in the face, and that was Aaron's introduction
to the
game.
Out of all the people that you're gonna punch in the beginning of the game, too, you don't pick Aaron in, you pick Zevlor.
I tried to punch Aaron in, my hand slipped. That was when my hand slipped.
I think it only gave her the one option.
Yeah.
It might have done that bug where it just says continue.
I think that's probably what happened.
I watched the footage. It only gave her the one option, and I think she thought it was the other person, but then she punched the other
person. Thank you for being the only one who believes me, Aaron.
Yeah, but I've heard your excuses my whole life, so I'm just tired of
it. I repeat, Aaron, thank you for being the only one who believed me.
You're welcome. I'll play the tape
well,
later.
You know, I think I'm a little about it because Zevlor blamed my character. I know, because they were
Lainey went up to talk to him and he's like, you punched me. And he's like, I didn't.
He just stands up, he sees the first drow, and he goes, that's the one that assaulted me.
It's true, Your Honor, I saw the whole thing.
You did nothing to help me.
That's true, I didn't.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to read all of my stats, but I'll just say that my stats are really similar. And what I learned from them is that Asterion is my favorite, and it's by a lot. I have romanced basically everybody at this point, though.
Nice. Good job. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I haven't finished my romances with Gale or Asterion or Minthara. But I'm pretty far with Minthara, just before Act 3. She's but great. Gale and Asterion, we just barely got off the Nautiloid.
Oh my gosh, you're the worst!
I lost nothing. Interest!
You haven't started romancing him.
I haven't even recruited Asterion in the wonder of romancing him.
I know, I told her... I told her I didn't think that counted.
That doesn't count. I have plans. It doesn't.
I'm intending to romance him.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't count, Jensen. I didn't keep track of my stats because I'm too busy playing the game. I'm kidding.
Have you looked at the time I've put into this? I'm also too busy playing this game and I still did it.
Out of the three of us, I have the least amount of hours, but it's still 530 hours. Nice. So...
It's a respectable amount of time.
So basically, we have a problem. One stat I do want to share from my list that I think is kind of interesting is that out of the total of now 24 games that I've started, I've deleted 9 of them.
Yeah, you have a problem with that. You're like addicted to
crazy is that
addicted
like
to starting a new game and then deciding she hates one of her older ones.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's because
I just keep them all.
It's because I keep making some similar choices, and it feels like editing. You know, like where it's like, oh, that was a rough draft of what this playthrough or what this character was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just end up
my characters are all unique and distinct.
Mine are all that hard. I have romanced Asterion 13 times.
I was going to say, I was like, most of my characters are not super unique or distinct because I almost always play a high charisma character.
See,
who's like more of a charlatan than Asterion is, and I always romance Asterion.
I'm all over the place with that because I have some characters who have high charisma. I have some who have middle charisma. I have ones like my necromancer whose charisma is absolute garbage.
I will say,
really weird looking. She's a red wizard. I just decided to make her a red wizard.
I do have my game where I'm playing as a wizard and I'm romancing Gale, and by the way, I'm saying I'm romancing Gale because I've gotten to Act 3 while romancing him and have actually gotten some romance scenes.
See, Jensen, that counts.
Well, I've managed some with people other than Gale and Asterion.
Stop because it. Stop defending yourself. You're losing.
I have my game playing as Shadowheart where I'm romancing Lazelle, and we're all the way in Act 3. And
what does this prove?
I can romance someone other than Shadowheart. That's what
it
proves.
Yeah, but you're playing Shadowheart. Shut up. That barely counts.
Shut up.
it's really because she's not an option.
It's really, really hard to not romance her. My one game where I'm romancing Minthara, I have like a split moment where I was like, this one I'm romancing Shadowheart with this character, and then I'm romancing Minthara with
her. I will say, I think my game where I'm romancing Gale, I'm definitely a bit more of a distinct character because I have like good enough charisma that I can do some persuading, but I have no deception or intimidation skills because I'm playing like a character as a guild artisan. So like, yeah, they could do persuasion and insight, but they can't like really trick anybody or do anything particularly devious. So they are different. But besides that, most of my characters are just little chaos people who have a way with words.
Well, my characters all make very different choices and different paths and whatnot, other than romancing Shadowheart every time.
Yeah, sure.
They did in different ways. Yeah. I've got my barbarian rogue that I've been playing as, who decided to do Grimforge before I ever fought any of the goblin leaders. That's a whole different way of doing it.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
Erin is a Hufflepuff.
I'm a dragon.
Of ghosts sheets with holes in them and regular sheets.
So obviously I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3, but I do have the good news that I have played exactly 3 hours of House Flipper. Ooh, I know I was just making fun of you for playing Power Wash Simulator, so this is your opportunity to make fun of me.
I won't make fun of you because House Flipper is amazing. It's a fantastic game.
It is
game.
A really good game. It's very fun.
Did you see they put out farm DLC that allows you to add extensions?
It's basically Stardew Valley.
I
want to
do that too.
I know. I really want it.
That's what I wanted to do. I was like, can I, like, because you're the first house that you start in
know,
is like
so
a little
and
shed.
Garbage. I
and
still
like Markiplier
live in it.
Was reading it to filth in the video that he did of it. He was like, this is my, I just bought this place. Why did I buy this?
I still have that as my main house in my house flipper game. I painted it up though and have tons of decorations. And I have like 5 pets now that just like are crammed in this little house.
I will keep that house, but I want to be able to like build additions.
That's
to
what
it.
I want to do too.
Because there's plenty of land.
Yeah, I did put a pool in the backyard.
Yeah.
The enormous backyard.
That's
mostly,
a huge
it's
yard.
Mostly backyard.
It's supposed to be so you can build more to it.
Yeah,
and I think they
be.
Just added that. So
yeah,
yeah. But the funny thing was is that the only reason I played House Flipper was because Baldur's Gate 3 was updating, so I couldn't play it. I like it was not an option.
Yeah,
that was the only reason. But yeah, so that was really fun. House Flipper is a great game.
Yeah. It is. It's really fun.
I'm very happy to be playing Baldur's Gate 3 again. Yeah. I'll go back to House Flipper, but my heart is stolen
yeah.
right now.
Baldur's Gate has stolen my
it's
heart.
It's not mine to give anymore.
It belongs to Baldur's Gate. I did play a little bit of another game though. Not just because I played 3 hours of Gotham Knights, and I played probably about 5 hours of
Was it
Power
another
Rush simulator
game?
No, it was Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh!
So another Larian game.
Yeah, so basically that was
it's just more Baldur's Gate.
It's just more and Baldur's going Gate. Back to it, it was reminded just how much it's like Baldur's Gate. Dude. It feels like Divinity was like they when they were going to make Baldur's Gate, they just took everything they did in Divinity and were like, how can we change this subtly so that it's
well the one difference I know between those games that I'm very glad that they did for Baldur's Gate 3 was making sure that there were like actual cutscenes.
Yeah, that's the
because
thing
I
Divinity
miss...
doesn't have actual cutscenes. The narrator does a lot more work. Like the narrator yeah. does quite a bit in Baldur's Gate, but in Divinity, the narrator does everything
I
because
like,
there's
think
no
it's
like
fun that they took Sabeel's like, character and the Red Prince's character and were like, what if we made this the same person and a vampire?
Yeah, they yeah. basically did.
Well,
but also Sabeel. Okay, really, they took all the characters and took bits from all of them to make the characters from Baldur's Gate.
I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think it worked well.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Oh, is it not recording?
It's recording.
Oh, good.
I just went to a screensaver.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Well, I was going to say one thing that I found really disappointing going from Dragon Age 2 to Dragon Age Inquisition was that they cut down the amount of cutscenes they had. So you just have to sit and watch your character stand there and then you get like the dialogue. And it's just, it doesn't feel
the
same.
It's not as fun. Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not as fun. And I'm really happy that Baldur's Gate 3 didn't do that because it would have been, the game would still be really good. Yeah. But it just wouldn't
They did
be
the
same
thing going from Mass Effect 2 to Mass Effect 3 and it drove me crazy. Mm. But yeah, so like Divinity went the opposite because it had it like that where you just like watch like your character from afar, and then Baldur's Gate was like, no, we're going doing full cutscenes for everything,
and it's so good.
Love it so much, it makes me so happy.
It's so good.
So that was a bit of a change because
I don't
forgot
even, like,
that it was
care
like
about
that
like
Divinity.
Silly glitches that happen in the cutscenes. I'm just glad that they're
so
there.
They're funny when they happen anyway.
It's true.
But there's lots of similarities between the characters in Divinity and the characters in Baldur's Gate. They literally just like took them all and chopped up little things. There's actually like bits of Losa's character too that's very similar to Asterion and his backstory. A lot of the characters that he took stuff to make Asterion
they
see,
were
it feels
drafting
like.
Him
but there's also references to those characters tons of them in Baldur's Gate. And one of the ones that I always notice is just when Asterion is talking about how he got the scars on his back and he talks about Cazador using an ancient blade he called his needle, which Sabeel's weapon is literally a needle. And that's how she assassinates people.
Oh boy.
It's with a needle.
Gross.
Yeah.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah. She also has a scar on her cheek that her master used to control her.
Oh. So.
Oof. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They love this idea of the scars.
Yeah. But there's some crazy things that, you know, don't translate over.
For sure.
As well. Like the fact that the elves in Divinity, they can eat people and gain their memories.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they are zombies. Cannibals.
So they're cannibals.
Yeah. And in fact, at one point, you can walk in on an elven funeral. And if you are playing as Sibyl or if you have Sibyl there, you can have her join into it. And what they do is they cut out the heart of the elf that's dying. They cut it into four pieces and then each one of the elves eats it.
Mm-hmm.
So they gain his memories.
You told me,
and it's wild.
You told me when you were playing this game that if I played it, I should play as Sibyl.
I think everyone who plays this game should play as Sibyl the first time. She's the best character. You either play as Sibyl or you romance Sibyl.
Yeah.
There is no in between.
Yeah.
You do that. You either play as her or you romance her.
Well, I have that.
It's the only way you'll be happy too. Because so many of the characters, if you romance them, you're just going to be sad.
Oh.
Because Larian likes to rip out your heart.
Yeah, I've noticed.
It's just their favorite thing.
I'm 530 hours deep into it.
And if you're going to play as Sibyl, do not romance the Red Prince. You can play as the Red Prince and romance Sibyl, but do not do it the other way around. Do not.
Okay.
Red Prince sucks if you're not playing as him.
Darn it.
Because if you're playing as him, you can make him not so much of a dick.
Ah, okay, it's one of those things.
Yeah. You have to play him out of character.
Yeah, you have to play him completely different from how he is.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He's the worst. I left him behind the first time I played.
Oh, so this is just like Astarion then.
Yeah. Well, when I first played the beta, I thought that I was going to have to choose like I did in Divinity. And so when I met Astarion, I was like, well, I'm leaving you behind. Anywho, sorry.
And you've seen the light.
Over everything.
So, okay, what's the next question?
The next question is still, what are you playing?
Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, you've just been playing Baldur's Gate 3?
And House Flipper!
You
talked about House Flipper!
I'm sorry, I was listening.
I played exactly 3 hours of House Flipper and I gave it a glowing review.
Okay, our next question is, let's discuss our favorite board games, which isn't a question. I will go first. It says, so our family got together on Thanksgiving and we played Let's Kill Dr. Lucky, which is just like reverse Clue.
It was so fun.
It's a game where you have a board and the board represents all the different rooms inside of a big manor owned by an eccentric old man, and every single one of you tries to kill him.
You just try to kill this old
and
man.
Then you try to thwart each other's attempts to kill him.
Oh my God.
And you have like these cards that you play, failure cards, that cause like other people's attempts to kill him to fail, and it's always through something stupid. Like one of them that I played said, you somehow mistook this child's toy for Dr. Lucky.
It's very Looney Tunes.
Yes, it's very slapstick.
It's a lot of Looney Tunes logic. It's very fun though. We had a great time with our family goofing off and thwarting each other's murders attempts.
Another
trying to kill that old bastard.
Trying to kill that old bag of bones.
Yeah.
I was calling him a bag of bones through most of it.
I know. We kept calling him an old bastard or an old bag of bones and cracking dad up the whole time.
Because he moves really fast through the mansion and part of it is trying to track him.
Yeah, he's
so
fast.
Why is he so fast? This man is old as bones.
So it brought back a lot of like childhood memories of, you know, playing Monopoly growing up or Clue. And being quite bad at those games as well.
I love how our parents were never interested in playing Clue. They're never interested in solving the murder. But they want to play this game where you cause the murder.
I think that's more fun.
They agree.
Mom played Clue with me, but granted it was like literally just me and her and I had to force her into it.
Yeah,
we had a very lonely childhood.
It did feel like we had to coerce them. It did feel like we had to coerce them into playing board games with us when we were kids. But they would do it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember for many years, I got dad to play me at chess basically anytime I asked.
Oh, yeah.
And then I beat him once and he decided he didn't want to play.
Of course he did.
I know we've talked about it before, but I just have to mention Nightmare again.
Dude,
that was Nightmare. One that they outright refused to play with us because they thought it was so weird.
They thought it was corny.
It is corny,
but it's also fun.
That's part of the charm. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those video board games where like you have a video DM and you have to pause the video and take his instructions. And
solidly 90s.
Yeah, very 90s.
VHS copy. 90s. Like we can't like
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the board itself is a graveyard, yeah. And you're and you're a bunch of creatures within this graveyard trying to avoid some kind of horrible fate.
Yeah, you're you're like famous creatures from like monster stories and stuff. And some historical figures that were considered to be like creatures themselves. Like you can be Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It was really fun. Nice. So that
was the only one that I remember off the top of my head.
That one was very fun, but I only got to play it a little bit growing up, and I think the last time I got to play it, I was like maybe 9 or
well, eight. I transferred the VHS over to a DVD.
So you have a DVD?
Yeah.
We need to play it.
Yeah, I know. I love that game.
It was so fun.
It's a great game. Play it. We actually still have it.
We should have to play with our D&D group.
We probably should.
They didn't like it.
Aww.
Your friends are lame.
Your friends are stupid. Nightmare's amazing. Nightmare. We should play it. Yeah. It's so much fun.
It's very good.
It's super goofy. The DM is he's just this old man who's like he gets creepier as the thing goes, but he starts out just looking like some dude.
He's just some guy.
But then like, by the end, he's like all like decrepit and stuff.
He slowly deteriorates over the course of the video, and it's it was kind of
as
great
a child,
idea.
It was terrifying.
It was creepy as a kid because it's a very slow changes, and then by the end, it's like.
I remember,
and he talks directly to you sometimes, and it was always really scary.
I remember the very first time that we played it. Also, he'll tell like
a
others
staring contest.
Yeah, he'll, like I forgot about the staring contest.
He'll also single players out. And yeah, be, like, come closer to the TV.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
and like so that he can have a private word with you. And I remember the first time we played it. I think it was me and Brittany who were playing it together. And we started to get nervous when we realized that he was changing. And I was like, is he going to look really scary by the end? So we fast-forwarded to the end of the video to see how bad he looked.
Cheating.
And we just, cheated. And so we just turned it on at the very end of the video to see how bad he looked. And we're children, you know? So I'm sure it wasn't that bad. But it was bad enough that we both just screamed and ran out of the room. And we had to send Becca back in to turn it off.
Oh, gosh. That's so funny.
Well, I remember Shazzy was supposed to do the staring contest. I remember you guys playing it once and I was there. Shazzy had to do the staring contest, but she didn't want to. And so you did it for her or something. Very silly.
I remember even as a child pointing out that he has an advantage because it's a video.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't fair.
They just have it on a loop.
Yeah. He's cheating.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aaron, what about you? What games did you used to play?
Used to play? Oh, okay. Yeah. You said, let's discuss our favorite board games.
You're
and
right.
The first thing I thought of was the Will Poulter meme where he's like, wait, you guys play board games? Well, let's see. When I was younger, it was basically just like Sorry and Life, Monopoly. That's about it. And I don't willingly play board games these days.
Oh,
I try to avoid it just because, I don't know.
It's hard to learn new rules of board games.
Because at one point you were in college and you were dating and you probably got roped into some Settlers of Catan and were like,
oh,
I hate
gosh.
This.
Well, oh, man. I love Settlers of Catan.
I hate that game.
Actually, nothing I hate more than the feeling that comes over me when someone is explaining
the rules
of
a game. Of
a board game.
Yeah, I was feeling
that. A new board game I am not familiar with. I freaking hate it.
Yeah,
because
I'd much
I get
rather
so confused.
Learn while going.
My comprehension of spoken word it's non-existent in those moments.
When Dad was reading the rules to the board game for Dr. Lucky the other day, I was dying inside. I was like, let's just play and learn while we go.
Yeah.
I can't.
See, that's
I can't pick up on any
learn.
Of this.
That's the only way I can learn.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I love my best friend, but she's one of the people where when she loves board games, she likes new board games. So when she gets a new board game, she wants to sit and read the rules for everyone.
Oh, no.
I freaking hate it. I'm like, I am checking out. I check out at that point. And I'm like, okay, when we start playing, I'll come back. But there's no good. It will do me to sit and listen to the rules because I don't understand them.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, we have a friend who is like obsessed with board games. He was constantly buying new ones and always wanting us to play with him. And he had like all the expansions and wanted to play all the different game variants. And like we would learn one and play through it. And of course he would beat us. And like partway through he'd be like, oh, there's this one thing I forgot to tell you that would help you win. But I totally forgot to tell you, but I've been doing it this whole time. And we're like, okay. And then we'd finish the game and it'd be like, okay, now let's do this variant. And we're like, no, no, we just got done with this one.
I don't mind playing board games. I like playing board games, but I want to play a board game I know how to play. Yeah. It's like, if we're going to sit down and play a board game, I would like to play something I know, like Clue. Yeah.
I'm happy to learn to play a new game I've never played before, but I have to dive into
it. That's the best way to learn.
I can't just listen to someone explain the rules. I will not remember a word.
And it has to be easy, too. I hate the games where there's so many different scenarios and everything has to be just so until you can do this one thing. And like Venus has to be in retrograde. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh. Like I hate Ticket to Ride. That game pisses me off.
I don't like that game.
I've never
so
played
bad.
That one.
It sucks. I
and
hate
so
it.
And so many people, it was so popular in my high school. So many people freaking love that game.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I do not understand the appeal.
Nope.
I definitely prefer board games that are a little more simple. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite board game growing up was Clue. Because Clue is pretty dang easy.
Yeah,
like a child can play Clue.
It's the same every time. Yeah. It's like pretty straightforward rules. There are no surprise, like, you know.
Yeah. And like there aren't these weird scenarios that you need to remember and learn. It's just it's just so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think of Parks and Rec.
The cones of Dunshire. Oh my god!
It's like this is what these games
it's
feel
all about
like.
Yeah,
the cones. But so yeah, I don't play very much. I do like easy card games like golf and Spot It. Like they're very short. They're super simple. They involve a little bit of luck, so it's not like the same person winning over and over again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the kinds
same with
that
like
I
Cards
like.
Against Humanities or Apple and to Apples. Yeah, like, it's just like here are the rules, here are your cards, let's start.
Yeah,
yeah. The only thing about Apples to Apples or Cards Against Humanity is it's very hard for me to understand what other people are going to find funny. Mm-hmm. So I always just pick what I find funny.
Yeah.
But that's not how like the judge is going to like so you
that's
kind
of I think
you
understand.
You understand
the person you're playing against.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like I'm just so bad at that.
I am too.
Every once in a while I'll say something that I'm like I thought that was objectively hilarious.
Yeah, I don't
and nobody has that response.
Right.
And it's like okay, so we just shouldn't hang out.
Yeah, well, and I don't dislike when I'm like not. I like games where I don't feel bad if I'm not doing well. Mm-hmm. And Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples is kind of like that for me, where it's like, it's kind of to each their own.
Yeah,
you know, humor is tailored.
It's a matter
it could
taste,
be anyone's
and my
game.
Taste is better than all of
you. and it's like I don't really care because the thing about it is that the fun part isn't winning. The fun part is listening to everybody's things. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
So, but have you played Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza?
Yes, I love that
game. Isn't that game so good?
It's super fun.
It's so fun and very simple, too. That one is great.
Oh, you just reminded me of a game that I played ages ago that was so much fun. Killer Bunnies. Have any of you guys played that one?
No.
Oh my gosh. We used to play that one at camp and it was crazy. I can't remember a thing about it now.
Cement. And Phyllis is like, one time when I was a girl, we and she starts laughing and she goes, what did we write? And that's you.
It's absolutely me.
You remember it was called Killer Bunnies and you attach it to a feeling of euphoria and you remember nothing else.
Exactly. I thought for a second that I would remember it in the moment and you're like, what was it about? And I'm like, I have no idea.
I guess you can pose the question to our three listeners.
Three listeners out there.
Colin.
What is Killer Bunny?
Colin, you all know us personally, so call us on our cell phone numbers and tell us what is Killer Bunnies about. We don't remember.
I don't know, though. I've never heard of this game, so it might just be fake.
Like and comment below.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I'll edit this one.
Please do. Please do.
Well, then it means that this one's going to come out before the previous one.
I'm gonna need to borrow your laptop.
This is a hell of your own making,
I don't know why, but that just felt so similar to what the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you come out of there? Give someone else a chance.
Oh my gosh.
Where were we?
Board games. Yes. I was pretty much done. Just basically D&D is the only thing that that's somewhat complicated that I like to play because it's absolute chaos, and depending on who you're playing with, it's just absolutely hilarious, and I love it.
I completely agree.
I might have literal brain damage because after you reminded me that we were talking about board games, I came this close to going, oh yeah, I was going to talk about Killer Bunnies.
Oh yeah, there's this game called Killer Bunnies.
What are you? What are you gonna tell us about this game that may or may not exist?
It totally exists.
The only one who's doubting
really tell me the rules.
The only one who's doubting in existence is Lainey. Everyone else believes you.
Stop fighting.
I just love that there's no way we can prove. Gosh. Okay, we could probably look it up, but I don't want to.
My guess is that Fluffle's trying to get to the water and Luma doesn't know what's going on, so he's just like, leave me alone!
That look a little bit like, why are you touching me?
He looked at me.
Oh my gosh.
Stop fighting.
They're so silly.
Go get some water, Fluffle. Good job. Figure it out, guys.
Figure it out.
Gosh.
Like living with a 6-year-old.
Oh my gosh. These children.
Anyway, I'm done with my board game section.
Stop licking the damn thing. Stop licking the damn thing.
It was an inappropriate Dryder related.
No!
I love that I have a board for
your shame
for that character, and it just says spider.
Spider.
So, Jensen, we already talked about Nightmare.
Yeah, that
so
was my
if
thing.
If it's cool, we're just going to skip you.
Please skip me.
To
Please skip me before I bring up Killer Bunnies again and forget that I already tried to talk about it twice.
I think I'll have mine now.
I can go eat it now.
You've embarrassed yourself enough in this episode.
Okay. We have. I should just leave.
All right. So, my board game I wanted to talk about. I was going to talk about Clue because if you ask me what my favorite board game is, it's Clue. But I don't want to talk about Clue in the next part, so I'm going to talk about Secret Hitler,
which is not a board game. But keep going.
There's a board in it.
The board is the table that you sit around.
No, the board is the thing that you put your policies on when you pass them.
I've
so there is
never
a board
played
involved.
Secret Hitler?
I haven't either.
I have, and we did not use that part of it.
How did you play the game then?
Passing
policies is like the gameplay.
All I can say is there wasn't a board involved when I played.
Okay, well, there was.
What kind
there's
of
a board.
Secret Hitler were you playing?
There is a board in
the
Secret Hitler. And the whole point of it is that you're, like, pretending to be the German government in 1939. And
as you do.
Yeah, and you've got two parties. You've got the Democrats, or the liberals, and you've got the fascists. And you get a card, basically, to tell you what party you are. But if you're a fascist, you have to hide it. And you basically have to...
Everybody pretends to be liberal, but some of you are fascists.
Everyone pretends to
it's
be
like
liberal.
Real life!
But some are fascists, exactly. And the liberals are trying to pass liberal policies, and the fake liberals are trying to pass fascist policies, but act like liberals and pretend to be liberals. And then there's one person who is Hitler secretly. You don't know who it is. And once you get to a certain point in the game, if they get elected chancellor, you just automatically fail. So the whole point of the game is...
You elected Hitler. Well done.
Yeah.
That's the game.
The whole point of the game is to try and figure out who is, like, actually on your side and who is not. And then pass the correct policies, be able to work together to, like, yeah, basically to make sure that you don't put anyone in power who is going to pass a different policy.
He's gonna be secret Hitler.
Yeah. And then if you're a fascist, then you're trying to pass fascist policies secretly while still pretending to be a liberal. It's very fun. It's a fun game that's very much, like, about your interactions with the friends, like, that you're playing with. So I definitely think, like, who you're playing with can make or break the gaming experience.
It can also make or break your friendships.
Yeah, that's true. Excusez-moi. But yeah, I played Secret Hitler a lot in high school. There was a time where I was, like, playing it every day, and I got really good at it, and I always played it with the same friends, so we started, like, learning each other's tells. So it was very good. It was a fun time.
Nice.
But yeah, that is my board game.
Awesome.
And it is a board game, because there is a board involved.
Sure. What elements from these games translate best to video games, which I think is a fine follow-up question that everybody made fun of. Just a little bit.
Everybody.
I didn't.
I was the only one who made a comment on it. It was just because I didn't think Clue. Elsa, like, I couldn't think of how I wanted to do Clue.
Elsa, here's one criticism from one single lady and thinks everybody's criticizing her.
Minouche all over again.
I'm a victim. No. So,
Fraser and Minouche all over.
So I think Lainey. The point that you made about Secret Hitler actually transitions really well into what I was going to say, which is that I think most of the multiplayer aspects of board games are usually my favorite elements that you will see replicated in video games in multiplayer, where, like, you do have to kind of get to know the people who you're playing with, understand their playstyle, understand what they can be relied on to do, what they can be relied on to not do, understand which of them are maybe going to accidentally have a thumb slip incident and punch Zevlor in the face. Like there are things about
that was very you coded.
I like Zevlor.
Yeah, I know. You still accidentally punched him in the face, and then I was like, surprise. Oh,
well,
here's and then the thing you ran about away, so Lainey had to take the blame.
Well, she's a drow. They were gonna hate her anyway.
That's true. Zevlor's usually like actually pretty not well. I mean,
that's one of the reasons why I like Zevlor, is that he's the sort of character where you can punch him in the face and then you're still buddies later.
It's true. Which is basically how he treats you.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically what I said is that I understanding the people who you're playing with, how to work together with them or how to thwart them, makes for some of the best multiplayer. But when it comes to single player aspects, I do think that there is a lot you can learn from board games or from some of these simpler sort of tabletop games, card games, like resource management and other aspects of the RPG experience that honestly I kind of neglect. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time I feel like I was compartmentalizing my gaming when I was younger, where it was like, if I was playing an RPG, I was playing it like, do-do-do-do-do, I'm just doing a story with pixels. And I wasn't really paying attention to, like, those sort of more RPG-specific things. What are my resources? What can they do? Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that board games, I think, encourage you to learn. And so the more that you understand that aspect of it, the more you'll be able to translate it over into video games.
It's easier to remember what resources you have.
When it's like seven cards in your hand.
It's so much easier to you.
Because let me tell you.
Rather than hundreds of random bottles that you picked up along the way inside of a trunk.
Which I do have.
Let me tell you. In my Act 3 games of Baldur's Gate 3, I'm, like, carrying around about 90 pounds of junk. But, like, it's usually, it's, like, potions that I just never remember to use. It's like, wow, this fight is really hard. And it's like, maybe you should take, like, a resistance potion or, like, maybe a potion of speed. Yeah. You have, like, 20
of
them.
I never use potions in Skyrim. I've gotten way better at remembering to use potions in Baldur's Gate, but it did take me a long time.
Well, I was
Of my 1,200 hours in there, I don't think I used any potions for the first 500.
Well, and that is... And I know that in the past, I've been kind of a back and forth on whether or not I even enjoy turn-based combat, but I would say that for an RPG with turn-based combat, that is one of the ways in which I feel like it trains you to be a little bit more aware of your resources, because you do have more time to kind of to leaf through them, similar to how you might leaf through the cards that you have been dealt.
Plus, I think the fact that it's tactical turn-based instead of just turn-based, like in, say, Wild Arms, I still would never, ever remember that I have potions. I don't know why. I just wouldn't. But for some reason, the tactical aspect of it, the fact that I have to worry about the character's movement as well as, like, you know, whose turn is next and whatever, I feel like it, for some reason, it makes it easier to remember.
I still forget to use things, though. I have so many freaking scrolls. I use all my scrolls constantly. And, like, pretty much the only scrolls I'm guaranteed to use are Misty Step and Dimension Door.
Dude, I use them constantly. Though I do have certain ones where I will sell some of them. If I have more than five, then I'll sell them. Like, if I have more than five of Protection Against Good and Evil, I will sell any that are above five, because I'm like, there is no given time where I'm gonna need more than five of these scrolls. As chances are, I'm never gonna use one of them. I don't think I've ever used that spell.
Me either. It's because I don't think it's very good.
Same.
Erin, on to you, darling.
I think, I don't know, I kind of touched on this in our last one.
The one that didn't come out?
The one that hasn't come out yet.
Whose fault was that again?
We talked about D&D in that one. And I'm going to touch on it a little bit more here, because I just, while you guys were talking, I realized, like, I was trying to think, like, how all I know is that a lot of games draw on D&D, like, over the years. It's all been, like, D&D inspiring them. But I realized my most recent playthrough, well, my first playthrough of Persona 5 Royal after having experienced D&D. So the first time I played Persona 5, I wouldn't really use any buffs or debuffs. I would just use all my turns to attack or heal. But this time around, like, I would look through each character's movesets more and be like, oh, okay, this person can get rid of their buff so that they're not, you know, hammering us with lightning and making us weak to lightning. And then I can use this person to, you know, up our defense. And it was, it was a lot more strategic in how I went about these battles.
That's, like, a great point. I forgot completely about Persona, but I do the same thing. And I think I realized what the connection is, why that type of turn-based, I don't think of any of those kind of things. I don't think of anything beyond attacking. I revert back to a child playing Pokemon. And with Pokemon, I was like, why would I ever try to lower their accuracy? Why would I ever do this?
Why would
or
I
that?
Waste my resource when I can just take away their HP?
Why would I attack?
During my turn, I attack. And if I can, I attack again. Mm-hmm. And then next turn, I attack. That's all I ever do.
Yep.
And I think that's like part of the thing, the psychological thing. She's like, of course I'm gonna use my turn to attack, because I'm the same way with Persona. I still don't ever do anything but attack or heal. I have never used anything else.
It came in handy. I need to start doing that. It's so much better.
I need to start doing
makes
that.
Makes life a lot easier. Especially for those boss battles.
Because, like, in Baldur's Gate or in Divinity, I will use my turn sometimes to do things to, like, buff other characters or take away another character's turn or something all the time.
A support role, like a cleric or a bard. Or, like, in Divinity, like, what you're supposed to do.
In Divinity, I'm playing the Puritan's Walk Run, where my character cannot land a killing blow on any enemy. So all I do in my turn is I summon creatures that will fight for me, and I heal or take care of my companions. Like, I cast haste on them, or I, like, do a clear mind or whatever, and I give them buffs, but I don't do anything with the enemies. Because I cannot attack them, or I will no longer be walking the Puritan's Walk. It's a trophy. You have to get through the whole game without killing a single character and without stealing anything and without using any of the like evil. It's like you can't use your source in a malicious way. So
interesting.
I could not do that.
I'm already about halfway through. I think I'm gonna make
it. I already
it.
Did that with Vampyr, and I wanted to tear my hair out.
That's why I played it the first time.
So much easier to just murder people.
I love doing stuff like that. I think it's so fun. I kind of want to try that with Baldur's Gate.
I think I'm pretty sure in Baldur's Gate it's technically possible.
Yeah.
But you do have to, like, there's obviously some encounters that are inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. But I mean, what if my character specifically were never to land a killing blow?
It's just the companions always do it. Yeah.
My companions or my summons would, but I never would.
There's also a lot of situations where you can just flee.
That's true.
But I would never do that.
It's not fun to flee combat. It makes me feel like a coward.
And then I don't get their stuff.
Yeah, true though. Right? The only time I have ever tried to flee combat was from some steel watchers after we blew up a building. And then my character got stuck inside the burning building.
Oh no.
So everybody else got away, but not me. So I just reloaded and redid the entire quest.
Anywho, sorry, I keep taking everything back to Baldur's Gate.
No, you're good. That's all. That was mine. So
thank you. Jensen.
Oh,
yeah, it wasn't your turn.
Sorry, we're ripping off of each other.
It's, yeah, it's more fun though.
I'm fine with it. Take turns.
Conversation.
I just like teasing her. It's fine.
It is really fun to tease Jensen.
It is. I know. I have heard this from many a person. JC says it's one of her favorite things about me having me as a friend is that I get very, very mad when she teases me.
Well, it's just because we get a reaction from you, and your reactions are funny. Like, they're just silly.
I know. I know that I have funny reactions.
You're silly goofy. We can't help it.
And I know that my rage is very entertaining. Anywho. So Nightmare. I think that specifically I was thinking about Nightmare just because it's, it's from the last question. And the whole, video game master thing, the fact that the game master is, they're talking you through the game the whole time. Just like a DM would, but, pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. It reminds me very much of the narrator in Baldur's Gate 3 or in Divinity Original Sin 2. And I haven't played very many games that have a narrator like that, but I really, really like it. The first time I ever played Divinity, I think that was the first time I experienced a narrator like that in a game. And the first thing they ever said was I went and interacted with a pile of hay. I don't know why. I saw a pile of hay and I was like, I wonder if there's something in there. And the narrator just goes, were you expecting a needle? And I was like, did the hay just talk to me? It scared the life out of me. But then I got very used to it. And by the end of that game, I was like, how can I ever play another game without a narrator there to help me?
I love the narrator.
What if I have questions about the hay?
Yes. Plus, I just think it's really funny when the narrator, says something and it's very dry.
Yeah.
Actually, today I attacked someone who was not hostile.
Yeah.
And it was
It's like you attacked someone.
You attacked someone. Now you're going to face the consequences.
Yeah.
This isn't surprising.
Or you attack someone. Only the guards are allowed to do that.
Yeah, that was the one that was really good.
Or there's one where if you talk to this corpse inside the oubliette, and there's a moment where it says something and you can respond without a question. You just respond stating a fact. And the narrator goes, the corpse is silent. That wasn't really a question.
Yeah, there's some funny things like that.
I like the one drow where you can ask him what his occupation is and he just goes, male.
Male.
It's gosh. Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
That's fun. Some good armor on that guy.
I like that. I want more games that have a narrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's fun.
I think it's fun. Same. I wonder if Baldur's Gate 3 will start a trend where we see more of those elements in games.
Yeah.
And so long as it's done well, I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Same.
True.
My turn?
Yes.
Okay. So I was going to say, basically, just to reiterate, I think the thing about Secret Hitler is who you're playing with and the interactions that you're having with them. And trying to, dupe each other and lie is very fun. And I was going to say... I hate to call it a video game, but I guess it is technically a video game. But Among Us did this, and Among Us was incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone was playing like, it.
Annoyingly
I
popular.
Thought of yeah. Among Us when we were talking about, like, specifically the games that make people sort of turn each other and start yeah. to try to thwart each other. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, Among Us. It did that. It yeah. cultivated that energy of you know, just betraying people.
Mm-hmm. And it is really fun gameplay, and as long as you're playing it with, like, people who you enjoy playing games with, who are going to be fun yeah. and not going to ruin your friendships or play in an annoying way that mm-hmm. makes you question your friendship with them, it'll be a good time. And mm-hmm. yeah, so, like, that concept as is, you can already tell, can make a really good game and get people interested in it.
Mm-hmm. It's like poker and tells.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yay! And now our last question.
Big long pause. Yay!
I'm sorry. If you must know, a picture of a woman with a truly superior ass appeared on my page.
Okay, I was gonna say, I was like, why are you looking at this woman's butt? I was
it's
like,
a good
I was
butt.
Like, that must not be the whole video.
No, nope,
oh, apparently
it
was the
that's
whole
video. That's all it was. There was nothing more to it. Somebody was just like, did you see this woman's ass? And I was like, I am now. Thank you. That's all it was. They just thought I'd like to see, and they were right. What non-video game thing are you currently obsessed with? And I wrote my answer. I'll keep it short.
That
I just said,
ass.
It never quits.
The answer that I wrote on the outline is just work, unfortunately, and that is true. Mm. And it is depressing, and yeah. I do not want to talk about it.
I'm sorry.
I've had a lot to do at work. It's good. It's good. It's just that I wish that it wasn't my whole life.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Jensen, how about you? Oh, wait, Aaron first.
Well, we finished the middle. It was very good. I don't know if you've watched it, but mm-hmm. Sue has a college roommate who is super rich, but she's not aware of how rich she is. And Zach actually made fun of me. He's like, oh my gosh, Aaron, she's like you. I'm like, shut up. Like, he's constantly making fun of me. He's like, you grew up on the east side, Aaron. You don't get it. We were always wondering where our next meal was coming from. I'm like, shut up, you did not.
I've been to his house. It's pretty big.
Well, you wrote in the outline that you were surprised to find out that some people wash and reuse plastic utensils. That is my life.
Yeah.
That mom would
never
throw out.
Mom would literally
never
reuse Ziploc bags and sandwich bags.
Oh, listen.
Sandwich
I just
bags. You know those
washed.
Ones that are so pathetic that they don't even, like, close properly? She would wash those.
Listen. I washed a Ziploc bag today that had pizza in it because I know she would get mad at me if I didn't come back with it. We reuse all those things.
Mom would reuse aluminum foil sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
She'd like roll it back out and try to flatten it.
I just know that I'm somebody's story about a weird roommate because of the habits that mom instilled.
Yes,
I'm
for sure.
Well, actually, I got like, I remember one of my first roommates was really surprised to find out. Like, I was like, oh, you threw away my tea bag. Like, because I had used it once. She was like, it was garbage. And I was like, no, I was going to use it again. I realized I was like, that's really weird. That's not that's something people
I
do.
I dodged that one because I always thought that was weird. Mom would have this big thing full of tea bags that were used one time. And I was like, I am not using
it. We would always have. There was always at least one dried tea bag just sitting in one of those little
always.
Pudding cups
yeah.
on the counter.
Always.
And I got
you're
used
so
to it.
Gross.
I was like, I'm just
in
not.
Case there's more tea.
I'm just not being wasteful. I'm just not being wasteful. And then it's like, no. You're
not being wasteful. You're
being
weird.
You're just being weird. Like, yeah. It's fine. Just use one tea bag.
You can be a little bit wasteful. It's okay.
You might as well drink warm water.
Yeah. It's like, it's not.
Just heat up some water and drink it. Like, She's basically what you're doing. She has add honey to warm water.
Definitely instilled some strange habits in all of us, yeah. And I am still finding out what people yeah. think is weird. I'm like, oh,
like, oh, wait a minute.
I'll stop. You're right. That is weird.
No, but it was super funny though, because she definitely says some things that I probably used to say because I was naive and didn't know and hadn't lived in the world. But Sue mentions like her vacation homes and she's like, oh, they're not even that big though. The one is only 6,000 square feet. And Zach's like looking at me like... Because people would come over to my house growing up and they'd be like, oh my gosh, Erin, you live in such a big house. And I'm like, no, I don't. Because we, you know, we live down the street from the Sorensons, who are mm-hmm. one of the richest yeah. families yeah. in Utah and have an actual mansion.
Yeah. yeah.
Then I grew up and got wiser and realized, oh my gosh.
Our neighborhoods were adjacent to some of the wealthier families yeah. in the area.
Yeah.
So in comparison, it always felt like.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, but...
But every once in a while, like especially doing people's taxes, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time you do get just the hard numbers mm-hmm. on that kind of thing. And so people will try to tell me things like, I just don't understand why the government wants so much money from us. Like, it's not like I live in a huge house or anything. And I was like, well, it says here that, you know, it's 4,500 square feet. That's bigger than average. And they're like, yeah. we don't make a ton of money. And I'm like, you make... $500,000 a year.
Oh,
that's a lot.
Okay.
That's
a lot.
Okay. Yeah. No. Like, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I was like, why are you lying to me, the person doing your taxes?
I can see all the numbers. I can see all of them. I have all of your numbers,
and I have absolutely no sympathy for you. You should be paying.
I see every one of your W-2s.
You should be paying more. Actually,
but I guess they're like, maybe they're just comparing themselves to like billionaires, which like don't. Do that.
Yeah. Well, a lot
they
of the
have
time,
crazy amount of money. They shouldn't have that much.
A lot of the time, yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, I'm just trying to get through the tax prep and like not, or like get through whatever their consult issue is or whatever. But the couple of times that I've pushed back, where I'm like, well, you're in, you know, this bracket because it starts at this income level, and you are over that by, you know, about $150,000.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're in this higher tax income bracket. And a lot of the time they'll just be like, that can't be right. And I'm like, it is, though.
You're like, this like, is
I
my
have
job.
Your, like, I have your income documents right here. It says that you made this much at, you know, probably Vivint or, you know, one of the yeah. companies that employs like a ton of people.
True.
Because we live in that area. Yeah. And a lot of the time they'll just be like, well, that's not correct. And I'm like, okay, then you're going to need to consult that with, you know, consult with payroll if it doesn't sound right to you. But a lot of the time, they just literally don't keep track of how much they make and don't.
They don't realize how.
They don't realize that they're making a lot of money.
I've noticed that the most common like range is between $500,000 and like $2 million. Those people have no idea how much they make. They don't realize how much they make.
They will talk
if it's over $2 million. Most of my clients who make over $2 million. They have no problem paying the taxes owed, and they recognize that they make a lot of money.
Uh-huh. And they don't talk about it.
And they don't talk about it. They don't complain.
It is embarrassing to have much money.
They should be embarrassed.
I had one client who they made over $2 million. Because they had so many expenses for their business, they actually were getting a couple thousand in a refund that year. And she was so shocked. And she was just like... I'm getting a chandelier.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
She's like, I can't believe we're actually getting something back. Wow.
Go get like, you that chandelier.
Yeah, I was like, you get that chandelier.
You earned it.
That's so funny.
It was just funny because, like, she had come in there been like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay, like, loads. I just know it. And then when they got a refund, she was just like, oh, that's surprising.
To clarify, the business own made gross more than $2 million.
Yeah.
With the expenses, it actually whittled it down to just a couple $1,000s.
Yeah, that's the thing is they had tons in expenses.
Yeah.
They bought, like, two new locations.
Yeah.
And so they they made almost no money.
And they did a cost segregation analysis, which you should always do.
And they took meticulous records, so yeah. we were able to see that they really made nothing
but it was,
that year.
But it was just really, but it was really funny to hear them talk about it, because they're some of the people who we see every year who do have kind of have this attitude of like, oh yeah, we have to pay loads of money every year, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so it was shocking to them when they got money back.
Yeah.
But most of the time, the people who are making between about $500,000 and $1 million, especially,
they have no idea how much money they make, and they're always mad that they
and they're always furious that they have to pay taxes. Oh my
God. They're always just like, why do we have to pay the government
everybody
so much?
Has
like everybody
to.
Has to pay
you're
the
not
government.
Special. you're not special. Like, also, like, and it depends on like what state you're from, because poor Izzy had to like pay extra because of Oregon.
And
she was out like. Well. Oh, she was out a considerable amount of money until she finally got a little bit back. But like, it was wild how long she had to wait. And she was just like, I guess I'm going to be living off ramen right now, you know?
Seriously, though, at least she's not living in Ohio.
I know,
Ohio returns are garbage. You don't just have the federal return and the state return. You have your school district return.
Yeah.
And you will get a billion notices from the school district because you filed it wrong. And it will be so annoying and you'll have to deal with it all year. And I only have one client from Ohio. And I have to deal with it all year.
And that's why we hate Ohio.
I hate Ohio.
I have like 5 clients from Ohio and they are the worst returns.
It's the worst. So we're having to paper file his return a second time because they lost the K-1.
Well, that was a fun taxes tangent.
Yeah. Anyway,
sorry, everyone. I just found it amusing.
We're but... taxes tangent.
Yeah. We're the only gaming podcast that has tangents for taxes.
Erin, was there anything else that you wanted to tell us about that is not video game related
and not tax related?
Please, not tax related.
We're a podcast where we give you advice on video games and taxes.
Honestly, it wasn't really tax related, but we ended up relating it to taxes.
It got there. just that we restarted Monk. So we want to watch the movie when it comes out. So.
There's a movie?
Oh, there's a movie.
There will be.
Oh, that's fun.
I know, right?
So it's in preparation for the movie. Then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
She's cool.
And of course, Evie. She's adorable.
She's so cute. She was just scrolling through my Pinterest today. It was so funny. she came over and took my phone away from me because I was looking at a picture of a cat, and then she just like was scrolling through my Pinterest.
She is so cute, and I love that she's at that point where like she wants to like engage with you, but like she's still a baby, so it's not like she knows how to like articulate
she still
any
tries.
Of her thoughts. But she comes up to me and she just goes, "Pink," and I'm like,
"You're like yes,
yeah," pink. I'm like, "You're wearing pink pants." Yeah.
So either she was talking about her pants or she wanted to listen to Blackpink.
She watches Bluey and she listens to Blackpink.
Yeah.
We have so much in common.
She also likes Ladybug, whatever.
Miraculous Ladybug. Yeah, yeah, miraculous we could be best
you,
friends.
Yeah, you
right?
Find your new best friend, Lainey.
Yeah. Or sometimes if she wants to listen to music, she says, "Boombayah." It took us a while to figure out that that just meant music in general, because that's the song title that she remembered.
Because it's so cute.
It kind of sounds like baby gibberish. So she was
like how Elsa would ask for root beer by saying, "Baba Dia Oi."
Baba Dia Oi, indeed.
That's cute.
Apparently, that's what I decided.
Apparently, you were asking for root beer.
Because the reason why is because you called all drinks Baba Dia Oi, and then Uncle Aaron ordered Baba Dia Oi at a restaurant, and the waitress bought him root beer
because she was so done with his shit.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then Baba Dia Oi became root beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Aww.
That family story.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Cool.
Very nice,
Jensen.
I just wrote
Yeah, you have really just been playing Baldur's Gate 3.
I've really just been playing Baldur's Gate 3. I did pass my test to be an EA,
yay!
You know? Yeah.
Good job.
So once the government finally gets around to approving my paperwork, I'll be an enrolled agent.
They'll never do that.
I know. They said expect it to take 6 months, I think it was, or 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
I would expect either.
Yeah.
So.
It wouldn't be surprising.
But I'm already getting paid like I'm an EA, so hell yeah. Yeah.
Get
at least
that
my
dope.
Bosses, it doesn't matter whether I have the paperwork yet. Booyah.
Yes, that's
get
good.
That paper.
Get that
which is good because I was running out.
Yeah, I know.
My bank account was almost completely empty.
I know, I was like, I was running out and I needed $40 from you.
I know,
and I was like, I feel bad about
this. No, there was a day right before I passed my test. I checked my bank account and I literally had less than $200.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need to pass this test like now. Oh, it was bad.
That is one nice thing about Baldur's Gate 3 is I feel like I saved a lot of
yeah.
money.
I've saved so much money in the last
couple
months.
Because there were so many video games I was planning to buy that I have not gotten around to because I am still just playing.
I haven't bought anything.
Baldur's Gate 3 has saved me so much money.
Same.
And it may be girl math, but like I spent $90 a couple months ago so that I wouldn't spend like $40 a couple times over for new games.
I mean, the PlayStation Remote Player that I got, I have that because I forgot that I pre-ordered it before Baldur's Gate came out.
So then you didn't even pay for it. I was actually watching a YouTube video the other day from Funky Frogbait.
Nice.
And they were talking about some stupid like health trends on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it was for this like water. It was for alive water. And it was like $88 a jug or whatever. And then they just go, for $88, I could buy Baldur's Gate 3 Deluxe Edition.
And then you wouldn't have to buy any more games for 3 months.
Or water.
Or water.
I mean, you can just get it from the tap.
I have lost weight since I started playing these
games. I have too.
Because I'm not eating as much. Dang. Because I am playing Baldur's Gate instead of having meals.
I have neglected all aspects of my life outside of Baldur's Gate.
But it does, I do feel like...
The stress at work's probably not helping either.
It takes less for me to be satisfied and happy because it's like, you know what? I don't have to have store-bought food today.
Because I have Baldur's Gate.
I have Baldur's Gate
3. I literally have the same thought.
Cheese sticks in my fridge.
Cheese sticks in my fridge and Astarion is on my PlayStation 5. Yeah.
I've literally had days where I was like, well, I could order food.
Or...
But then I'd have to get up to go get it, and I would have to stop playing Baldur's Gate while I eat it. So I'm just gonna keep playing.
You're the worst. We cannot advise this behavior.
No, this is very bad behavior.
Can we make an ad for our YouTube channel and just be like, I've lost 10 pounds since starting Baldur's Gate 3.
Thanks,
Baldur's Gate 3.
Else.
I don't care about doing anything but playing this game.
It's like, it's been because I have neglected my...
It is because I've neglected my
just
health.
Recreate that scene from Drop Dead Gorgeous when she's like, I was running on about 400 calories a day. I was ready.
Oh, it's so inappropriate, but it's so funny.
That's me playing Baldur's Gate. I literally have thought of that scene several times and pictured myself as her. And like, just like, barely alive. And I'm like, it's okay. I have Baldur's Gate.
I get it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's just really good.
It's really good. I actually brought my laptop to my last tattoo session and played it while I got tattooed.
I love that for you.
And it's funny because Jordan was sitting there while he was like working on my tattoo and he's watching the game partially while he's working on it. And he just goes, I can't believe this is the first time you've done this. I was just like, me neither.
He's like, your sleeve is almost done.
I know.
This is the first time you thought to bring your laptop.
I'm going to do it every time now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, at some point, years in the future, when I have money and I'm an actual adult rather than like tutorial adult.
I'm going to free my pants, lady. I can't say shit like that.
I can't be the hilarious person that I am.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna get a tattoo. comfortable with, and I'm gonna sit and play Baldur's Gate 3 while they tattoo me.
Does that mean I'm a proper adult, not a tutorial adult? Because I don't feel like a proper adult.
Me either.
Well, are we all tutorial adults?
I think so.
I don't think there's anything more adult than the fact that you earlier told a story about having less than $200 in your bank account and then followed it up with a story around the same time of getting your arm tattooed.
You paid for that one, though.
I remember.
I literally had to borrow money from Elsa for that tattoo.
I literally gave her $1,000 in cash so she could go have some more work on her sleeve.
Oh my god!
It's funny because we actually had to reschedule. But like the week that I had only like $200 in my account and Elsa gave me money, I showed up for my session and Jordan was sick, so we rescheduled. But it was funny because I was like, actually, this is great because I didn't have enough money. I borrowed money from Elsa. I was like, I was about to tell you I only have enough for 5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
That was great.
I do think
being an adult is dumb.
I do think I like using tutorial adult.
I like that. It makes me happy. It somehow makes me feel less stupid. It's like someday.
Tutorial yet.
Yeah, maybe someday I will be a real adult.
We're like out of the tutorial level.
Yeah.
Like I'm still calling, like tutorial's still part of the game, you know?
Yeah, it's still part of the game, but yeah, like I'm stuck on the Nautiloid. I still get somehow messages popping up and I'm like, go away.
Somehow I clipped into the map. Now I'm in a section that I wasn't supposed to be able to get. And Lazelle keeps yelling at me. We need to get to the helm. But I can't get to the helm because I'm stuck.
Oh, God.
I did it. I summed it up.
And that's why Baldur's Gate 3 is relevant.
All right. So, video game thing.
I think we're on Lainey now.
Lainey, yeah.
Yeah. There is not much else that I care about right now besides Baldur's Gate 3. It's pretty much all I do. But I have been really enjoying Luxaria's reactions to America's Next Top Model.
Those are always great.
And goodness, there is only one take that I had as a child that I still resonates with me after when I watched America's Next Top Model. And that is that Janice Dickinson is the worst.
She doesn't know anything
about what she's talking about.
I am so proud that even as the stupidest child in the world, I knew that Janice Dickinson sucked.
Didn't know.
I remember watching that show and me and Shelsey just like bashing Janice because we were just like, nothing she says is ever helpful.
She has no artistic eye.
She's
too
terrible.
Like if you've watched any of her stupid reality show and seen the pictures she takes of her models, she doesn't do anything you're supposed to in photography.
Yeah.
She doesn't pay attention to the freaking framing or the rule of thirds. She doesn't understand anything about art, and I freaking hate her.
Maybe she was good as a model herself, but anything beyond that, she can't do
it.
She can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
anyway.
Looking at me like you disapprove, and I'm confused.
No, I agree. I just wasn't sure it was. I just wasn't sure that the vitriol merited quite that much.
No,
enthusiasm.
I've been angry about this
since I was a little child.
Part of it too
watching
is that
America's Next Top Model.
I also believe she's wrong about
it. Part of it too. I think part of the reason why I have such vitriol against this woman is because she made me think I was fat as a 7 year old. She made me think I was fat.
I could see that.
I was a freaking child.
She is one of the reasons why
I have terrible body issues.
Same.
And she needs to pay for it.
I think my surprise comes from the fact that, yes, I agree, Janice Dickinson is terrible. But the thing that really sticks with me at watching the show as an adult, with adult eyes, is that they're all awful.
They're all awful, but we were right about Janice.
Yeah.
We didn't see it about the others because we were stupid.
And because of the way that they, and because of the reality show and editing.
Twiggy was generally great.
Yeah, Twiggy was lovely.
She had a couple of moments, but overall, Twiggy was great.
And Miss J had a few bad moments, for sure.
Yeah.
I definitely remember some episodes where I was like,
Miss J had some.
Ooh, Miss J. No.
And to me, Jay Alexander was corrupted by Tyra.
I agree.
But generally, Miss J, I generally agreed with Miss J.
Yeah.
for the most part. Every once in a while, I was like, that was meaner than it needed to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Or there were a few, like, legitimately wrong takes.
Most often, I agreed with Nigel. There were still times where I disagreed with him.
I thought Nigel was I agreed with Nigel a lot. And now then I got older and was like, I was right, and he's even more of a douche than I
should never have agreed with him because he's awful.
Yeah.
But at least I was right about Janice. But that's why we're so passionate about it, because
we were right. And that's
the thing. Were stupid enough to be blinded by all the others. We weren't blinded by Janice.
I had the wool pulled over my eyes for everyone else. I thought the world of Tyra.
Yeah.
And same. And now I just feel embarrassed about it.
Same.
But for Janice, I always knew she was not super cool. I didn't like her. I didn't like anything she had to say, and I always felt like she didn't know what she was talking about.
Shazi and I celebrated when she was gone.
And she didn't. She didn't know what she was talking about, and that is confirmed to me now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just remembered. I also started a K-drama about a veterinarian doctor who can see people's and animals' memories when she touches their butts.
Oh. When she touches their butts?
That's really useful.
That would be very useful.
And what part of their butt? Any part of their butt, but if she touches it with just like the tips of her fingers, she can only see so far back. Touches it with the whole hand, she sees a few months back.
Why?
But if she massages it, then she can see like way far
back. Why does it have to be the butt?
Obvious answer is comedy purposes.
It's because. No, there's a logical explanation, and that is she was examining a cow during a meteor shower.
Oh,
and she was touching its butt
when
a meteor struck near her.
I withdraw my comment. That's completely logical.
And the detective is using her to help solve crimes.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
I love Korea.
That superpower is on par with Meg Griffin being able to her nails a couple inches. It is.
How would you explain that superpower? Like, your origin story of like, wow.
Quick, let me touch your ass.
Oh, but it also makes her lose her hair when she uses it.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh!
I mean, why not?
Cool other element!
It comes with a price!
Comes with a price!
What is it called?
Get a wig!
It's called Behind Your Touch.
Get a feel
like that! Oh, wow.
I'm so happy it's
because
real. Oh my god.
K-dramas are the best thing that's ever happened to television.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's it for me.
That was the last thing. Amazing.
Our last question
is what are you going to play next?
Baldur's Gate 3.
I downloaded Lords of the Fallen.
Nice.
Ooh, cool. And Fear and Hunger 2 Termina, which I know is one that I was like, I am going to play. I said this like 6 months ago, but then I kept getting derailed. I was going to play it for Halloween. I played nothing but Baldur's Gate 3 all through October. And also Alan Wake 2 was another one I was going to play for Halloween.
That looks really good.
I forgot Halloween happened. I was planning to play Resident Evil 2 again.
Yeah.
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 It's okay. I just did Act 2.
Yeah, that's the thing is I was like, this is spooky.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's like the Halloween
part. I will eventually.
It's pretty spooky.
I will eventually get back on track, and my backlog's worse than ever now, thanks to Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
But I don't really regret anything, so that's me.
I don't regret a thing. I'm so happy.
Erin, what are you going to play next?
Let's see. Okay. I need to play a lot more Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about getting Final Fantasy 16 for Christmas, and then Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth comes out in February, and holy crap, I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
I still need to play the other one. The other Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay, remake. Sorry, I completely forgot what I just said, and was like, other one?
I was going to say, I still need to play the other one is kind of confusing when it comes to, like,
well, that's the thing is that I don't
Fantasy.
Know how many there are.
I don't
so
know.
So I wasn't going to name one.
Yeah.
I just know that I haven't played any. So I
so
need
to play, at least one.
Yeah. Well, I intended to at least play, I was going to play 7, not the remake. I was going to play the remaster because I wanted to see how it differs from the remake.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go into the remake having played the remaster.
Understandable.
So I started it. I'm not very far. Literally, I think just like Cloud jumped off the train and then we had a battle. And that's where I'm at.
But the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I started at like 2 a.m. and I was like, I'm not actually going to play this right now. I'm just going to start it so that I have to go back to it. And then I forgot.
I think you start Baldur's something Gate and then leave it because you think like it's going to give you some sort of momentum.
Well, that's the thing is.
And then if it doesn't happen, it's like it's just going to sit there.
Well, that's the thing is that if it's logged into my trophy list, if I have a single trophy in it, I'm motivated to go back at some point.
Yeah.
So that's why I did it. But then Baldur's Gate came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything else has gone up.
I was going to try and platinum Fallout 4, and then Baldur's Gate came out.
So. I actually literally was thinking I'm going to platinum Fallout 4, and I wanted to platinum Mass Effect 2 again.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten around to that either because Baldur's Gate. I love it so much.
It really threw a wrench in all of my plans.
It did throw a wrench in all of my, my plans. I have not even looked at the trophy list yet for Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm. I've looked at it a couple times. I still don't know
where it is. anywho, what was I going to say? Oh, but yeah, I was going to play, I started with 7, and then I was going to play the remake. So those are the ones that I specifically mean I need to play.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Do it. They're so good.
I forgot what I was saying partway through, and I'm not even 100% sure if I finished what I was saying.
I
have memory issues.
I think you did.
Okay.
I have comprehension issues.
I guess that's the best possible thing for me is to be around people with comprehension issues because then they'll never know that I don't remember what I started talking
usually
about.
Usually what it is I like assume what you mean. And so then I just fill in the gaps.
Good. Yeah. That works. Maybe our 3 listeners realize that I said something completely different towards the end. I'm sure that I will not hear about it.
Oh my gosh.
Is it my turn?
Yes. Yeah.
So I am planning that I will eventually get to Spider-Man 2 and Assassin's Creed Mirage. I will do these. I will play these games at some point. They're high on my list to start.
So when do you think you'll be getting to them?
Probably sometime next year.
Yeah. That's not that far away, though.
I know. Actually, like,
I think if we're real ambitious, we'll plan on having our next episode be our Game of the Year episode.
We're so bad at this. Can we
do that? Yeah. Can Jensen finish?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll finish
it. Can you do? Because I want to listen to it.
I know. I want to get it done.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just really bad at this.
What am I gonna play?
I shouldn't
next?
Be given like responsibility and stuff, you guys. I'm not good at that.
Okay.
So. Baldur's Gate 3.
That's
what I'm going to play next. I don't think I have the mental space to figure out what I want to play next quite yet, but I think if I am going to stop playing Baldur's Gate 3 and go to something else for a little bit, it'll probably be House Flipper.
Nice. I actually might go play some more House Flipper soon, too, especially if the farm DLC goes on sale.
You know what I have been thinking about playing
what?
Soon, though? Happy's Humble Burger Farm.
Dude, you should totally play Happy's Humble Burger Farm. It's so good.
Dude, well, the thing is that
it's so good.
Usually I watch Markiplier's playthrough, but I don't like pay attention fully to it. I started paying attention fully to it. There is so much flavor text and lore going on. And I was like,
that game is way deeper than you realize.
It is.
It is. And he only plays past the first boss.
Only a tiny bit.
Yeah. He only went through the first boss. There's so much more.
Yeah.
Like, that game is really, really,
so
really good.
So I kind of want to play that, but...
I only have one more time that I can platinum it.
I don't know. It's not on... Is it something I could get on PlayStation 5?
Yeah. It's on... It's got... There's a PS4 version. I don't know if there's a PS5 version. Let me see. But there's the American version and the European version. I have both. I've only platinumed the
and was it okay
version.
For you on console rather than PC?
Oh yeah,
with the controls.
Oh yeah, it was way easy.
Sweet.
It was very smooth. I got really comfortable with it. In fact, I had to go out of my way to get the trophy for getting 10 orders wrong.
Okay, cool.
Like, it was one of the last trophies I earned because I was like, oh, shoot, I've never gotten 10 orders wrong in the whole game. I probably should just, like, actively get some wrong.
That's good. That is a good sign for me, then.
They don't have a PS5 version, but they do. So they've got the North American version and then the European version, and I have both of them. And I think you have access to my library for both because you got my PlayStation profile.
On my PlayStation 4, I would also have access to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you would. If you don't have access to mine, you should have access to my my European PlayStation account, which is my Polish one. And that one, I've got the game on there, and it doesn't have it doesn't have its specific PlayStation, so you should be able to access the library anywhere.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Well, then I will plan to do Happy's Humble Burger Farm sometime after I beat Baldur's Gate 3. And, yeah, that might be a while. So.
Yeah. But, you know, once you do
eventually land on another game you might play.
Happy's Humble Burger Farm. Hell yeah.
I want to do it.
Well, Erin, would you like to send us off?
I would, but also the Five Nights at Freddy's movie was really good.
Oh my gosh, that movie was so funny. Yeah.
Okay. That was a silly ass
so
film.
It was. I loved it.
It was perfect.
It was stupid, and I loved every second of it.
Exactly. It's like, it is not, like, good,
yeah.
but it's
not good, but it was good.
But it was good. But it was perfect for Five Nights at Freddy's.
I started to seriously wonder about 30% of the way through if it was written by AI.
Right. Well, it felt like fan fiction too, which, like, honestly, that's they were right about
that. The only thing that made it work for me, the script I felt like was pretty bad, but what made it work for me is the utter, just flawless commitment.
Yeah,
everyone was there 100%.
Exactly.
They were like,
I was like, these are the silliest lines in anything ever, and they're killing it.
Well, and that's Five Nights at Freddy's for you. You summed it up right there.
Like, I was fully entertained.
It's silly.
Well done, I guess.
It's silly. It doesn't make sense. The lore doesn't make sense. And, like, the canon of Five Nights at Freddy's is freaking weird.
It's dumb, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Also, I had no idea that Golden Freddy was a thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I didn't know that was a different animatronic.
Yeah.
I just thought he looked creepy.
No, they actually don't do a very good job of making the different animatronics make sense.
Yeah.
Ever.
Because they don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't
they
matter.
Don't care.
Just sit down and watch.
Yeah, I was like, okay, wait, so there's like a gold bunny, but then we also have like the purple bunny. When I first started getting into Five Nights at Freddy's, it honestly just kind of annoyed me because people would be like, oh, and then this thing. And I was like, I don't know who that is. I was like, you guys need to like talk to me like you're like, I'm not somebody who knows about this
yet.
Yeah. I am still learning.
Yeah. I went to it still not really knowing like hardly any of the lore. But
I didn't know any of it.
Yeah, I didn't really know much because like I'd watched Markiplier play a little bit, but that's about it. But I did get one reference to the what's it called? The security breach.
Yeah.
I got the reference to security breach. It was the thing that the eye. I can't describe it. Someone got shocked in the eye.
Oh, Chica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you, so Chica's eyes are like a big thing in Security Breach. And so one of the ways that you, so you can.
Oh yeah, the taser.
You do the taser into the eye, but then eventually when you defeat Chica, you take her eyes and you install them into Glamrock Freddy.
Oh, gotcha.
So Chica's eyes are like a thing.
As you do.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a reference to Security Breach.
That was the only thing picked up.
That was the thing, though, that it was so funny because when they introduced Vanessa, I was like, oh, okay, so we're doing Security Breach stuff. And like in Security Breach, Vanessa's like, I mean, she's actively working against you, like she's evil, so and you guys were like, she's shady, and I was like, she's supposed to be shady, like she's evil, but then they were like, oh, never mind, she's not. And I was like, Well, it's Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. It's like this.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the like second this. That they introduced her, I decided she was a villain because she's a cop.
Yeah.
But then the story continued to progress, and I was like, why are they treating her like she's a character and not just a mustache twirly villain?
No, see, that's why I was confused too. Because I was like, are they going to try and sell me on some romance between Josh Hutcherson and Vanessa? And I was like, Vanessa's evil in the game. And like, I didn't know much about her deal, and she's also like they reveal that she is oh my gosh, the guy, what's his name, the big bad, I almost called him Wesker.
Just call him Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
His name is not Wesker.
I know it's not.
Wesker.
Wesker. He has an actual name in the story, and it's a very easy one to remember, and now I can't remember it. But Matthew Lillard, Vanessa was not his daughter in the games. She, at least, no.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't one of the kids. But then they decided to make it, and it just, it felt like Five Nights at Freddy's, because that's, like, how the canon came about, is because Scott Cawthon was just like, yeah, it's this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is that thing. And people, and, like, no one... He wasn't paying attention! Anyway.
Yeah. I was also super confused when people started freaking out about the waiter at that diner.
Oh, yeah, it's
Matt Pat. And I was like, oh, okay, I've seen his videos. I just didn't recognize him. But everyone was like, oh my gosh! I was like, what's going on? And Zach's like, Aaron, it's game theory. I was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
I am not super familiar with him, but I knew his connection to Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. And that so everyone freaking out when he showed up, I was like, oh yeah, it's our guy.
it's your boy Anyway, I derailed us again. My
it's
bad.
Okay. It's all good. It was,
I just
for
remember
a good
you were talking about
it's a Freddy's movie.
Yeah, you were talking about Happy's Humble Burger Farm, and I was like, oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
Similar vibes.
Happy's Humble Burger Farm.
Toes.
Toe!
The way that
Toe.
Markiplier shouts at Toe the entire time.
Toe is the best.
Where
I
he's
love
like,
Toe.
Where he's like, could you maybe watch the grill? He just goes, you know, Toes!
That's exactly how I played Happy's Humble Burger Farm as well. There was a lot of shouting at Toe because Toe just
stands
there all day. He's there with you all day while you're working, and he never he doesn't lift a toe. So I got so mad at him and just scream at him all the time.
Yeah,
but that's part of the fun of the game.
Yeah,
you gotta yell at Toe because he doesn't do anything, but he's still there. And then he runs home.
He runs like a weird, I think it's also funny,
his name is Toe.
It's literally Toe.
I also think it's funny that Markiplier doesn't call him Toe, he calls him Toe the entire time. And it just, so I don't know, it's funny to me.
I may have to replay Happy Single Burgers.
I'll do it.
They need to put out a one on PS5 though, so I can platinum it for 3 times.
That would be fun.
Because I need to be able to platinum that game 3 times. It's very important to my well-being.
Yeah.
I've got it once. Once I play the European version, I'll have another one.
I believe in you.
I need a PS5 platinum for it.
You know, it'll probably happen at some point.
It has to.
Or it'll come out on some other platform. And
or they need to just make another one. That would be good, too. They kind of left it on a little bit of like a cliffhanger kind of thing.
Mm.
Kind of.
Alrighty.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, your princess is not in this podcast. She's out with the grandparents right now.
Aww. Aww. She's so cute.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you, your hopes, your dreams, your loves and fears. Message us at Princess in Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or check out our YouTube channel, Princess in Another Video. You can also email us at princessinanotherpodcast@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Take good care of your gamer hearts and souls.